The fighting in Syria has been making headlines for years, most recently with the refugee crisis that's been a byproduct of the unrest. Here in East Lansing, a growing group of MSU students is determined to stand in solidarity with the Syrian people and raise awareness of the crisis. Tasneem Sana is one of those students. She's a Syrian-American who was born in the States. After her parents immigrated here from Syria, she's studying physiology here at MSU. She still has many family members living in that troubled country, and she's committed herself to activism for Syrians, especially Syrian students. I spoke with Tasneem yesterday to hear her story and to find out more about the causes she supports. We began by talking about her parents. So your parents immigrated to the United States from Syria in the late 1980s and ended up in West Michigan. Tell us about the circumstances that brought them here.
Basically, you know, my dad, he wanted to come to the United States. Actually, his dad was pushing him to go to the United States because my grandfather knew that the opportunities in Syria were not going to be that great for my dad. So he really, really encouraged him, like, son, you need to try to, you know, go somewhere else where you'll have a brighter future because Syria is not headed in the right direction. Mm.
And you had the chance to go back and actually see Syria.
Yes.
When you were in middle school. Let's talk about that a little bit. What did you do during the trip?
I visited family, which was really exciting. I got to meet my cousins. We spent time together. It was a lot of fun. Also, I did visit some really cool historical sites in Syria, specifically in Aleppo. In the center of the city, there's an ancient castle called the Aleppo Citadel. We took a tour inside, and it was absolutely magnificent. It was one of the most wonderful things I've seen, and it's something that I really want to go back and see again. And it really makes me sad that the historical sites in Syria might be destroyed, because they're all the World Heritage Sites right now are on the danger list. So, you know, it's really frightening, considering also that Palmyra is a city in Syria where there are a lot of ancient Roman ruins. And ISIS is there right now, and they don't have any respect for the historical sites.
You endured a personal tragedy, though, as well, 2 years ago that involved your grandmother. Can you share with us what happened?
Yes. 2 years ago, it was February 18th, to be exact, 2014, I woke up one morning to the sound of my father screaming and, I guess, wailing on the phone, and I was really concerned. You know, we all were jolted awake right away, and we ran over to my parents' bedroom, and he sat down on the chair, and he was on the phone with someone, and he was crying. And I was like, this is not good. And so he told us, you know, your grandma, my mother, she was outside gardening in her backyard in Syria, picking some parsley from her garden when a bomb landed not too far away from her, and it detonated near her, and she was bled to death, and she died. Mm. It was really, really difficult to hear that. And, you know, I still think of that day often. And I mean, I'm happy that, you know, she died in her home, a place that she loves, doing what she loves, which is gardening, and that she didn't have to see the stuff that happened later, because just a few months ago, my grandmother's house has actually been partially destroyed by Russian bombings. Russian airstrikes. So, I mean, obviously, you know, it's still really sad that she's gone, but I'm really glad that her heart didn't have to be broken by seeing the horrible destruction that her house went through, that she's lived in from ever since she got married.
Well, that I'm very sorry to hear that, but it was a different kind of turning point for you as well. It led to your getting more involved in activism.
Yes.
Explain how that happened.
Well, I was involved from the beginning, from 2011. You know, I was really passionate about what was going on in Syria. And like when I went to Syria in 2010, I remember there was this tension there. I remember seeing there were posters of the dictator Bashar al-Assad's, you know, his face was plastered on buildings everywhere. And I was 13 years old, and I remember asking my parents, why is Bashar al-Assad's face just everywhere? Like, they don't have posters of Obama everywhere in the U.S. I said that, and my dad gave me this look, and he said, you need to stop talking right now, because if someone overhears you, you're going to be arrested, and you're not going to be able to go back to the U.S. So that was pretty scary. And when I saw that the people in Syria they rose up and started protesting the oppression, I was elated. To be honest, it was amazing. I never thought, and neither did my parents, we never thought that something like this would happen in Syria, that people would be brave enough to put their lives on the line. So from the beginning, I was involved. I mean, I think once I lost someone, though, it became so much more personal, and I decided that, you know, I didn't want to give up for anything.
Tell us about the mission of Students Organize for Syria, or SOS.
Yes. So Students Organize for Syria, the mission is to stand in solidarity with the Syrian people and raise awareness of the tragedies that are going on in Syria. And we just want to raise awareness about the Syrian people's fight for a democratic and pluralistic society.
How do you do that?
Well, I'm hoping in the future to hold some events on campus and try to raise awareness about what exactly is going on in Syria, because I know it's really confusing. People will watch the news and they see ISIS, they see, you know, Nusra Front, they see this and that, and it's gotten so complicated now. And I think a lot of people don't really understand what the war in Syria is really about.
The politics are very complicated.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of understandable in a way.
Yeah.
They understand Assad, but beyond Assad, it starts getting very complicated.
Unfortunately, it's extremely complicated. It didn't start out that way, though. So just over the years, there's been this power vacuum, I think. And so all these groups started coming in trying to take advantage of the unstable situation.
I'm speaking with Tasneem Sana, an MSU physiology student from Grand Rapids who's involved in campus activism for Syrians. Tell us about the Books Not Bombs campaign. This is another initiative.
Yes. The Books Not Bombs campaign is a national campaign being held at many universities across the U.S. And the mission of this campaign is to get as many signatures as possible on a petition to petition schools to provide scholarships for Syrian refugees who would otherwise have no access to an education. And this is important because schools have been targets in Syria, especially universities. I know Aleppo University in 2013 was bombed on the first day of final exams, and 80 or so students were killed. So, you know, people are risking their lives to go get an education. One of my cousins, one day she went to school, a university in Syria, and it was bombed, and a lot of her classmates were killed. Luckily, she survived, but she didn't go to school for like 2 months. She was so terrified. She stayed home, understandably. I mean, it's horrifying.
Has MSU joined the Books Not Bombs campaign?
Well, the Books Not Bombs campaign is petitioning schools to join the Syria Consortium, and it's organized by the International Institute of Education. The Syria Consortium is a group of schools that have pledged to provide scholarships for Syrian refugees. Michigan State University is not yet a part of that, but I'm hoping that we will gather enough signatures to be able to bring it to the school administration and have them consider.
Could these student causes you're involved in use the support of members in the larger community?
Yeah, we can definitely have members of the larger community sign the petition and promote it as well. I think it's really important that the whole community becomes invested in something like this. It's books-not-bombs.com. And just share it with everyone you know, really. Like, if we can get a lot of people on board, I think that will make a huge difference.
How many family members do you have back in Syria that you are well acquainted with and stay in touch with?
Well, I have one other grandmother in Syria, and I have 3 aunts, 2 uncles, and about 15 or so cousins that I am in touch with.
How do they feel about the fact that you grew up here? What is that dynamic like? They know nothing but Syria. You know almost nothing but the United States. What's that like?
You know, it's interesting. I remember when I did go to Syria, they were really, really fascinated with my sisters and me. And they tried to, like, show us around, and they were really impressed because to them, you know, America is something, it's like beyond a dream. So for them to have family living in America is something really, really interesting and cool to them. Yeah.
Does the situation in Syria have to change profoundly before you would consider going back?
Okay, so we did go to Syria in 2010, and we were planning on coming back to Syria probably in 2012 or 2013. We were already making plans to visit Syria again, but we realized, you know, watching the news, that it was just not safe. We couldn't do it. I've considered actually going, maybe I think it would be interesting to go to like bordering countries and visit the refugee camps and maybe, you know, volunteer and help the refugees out. But Syria I don't know. It's difficult right now to get inside the country, too, because, you know, the U.S. Embassy, I believe, is closed in Damascus. And I know that my family has had trouble crossing borders. My uncle, he actually fled to Istanbul, to Turkey. And crossing that border between Syria and Turkey is actually really dangerous. And he narrowly missed an explosion on the border while he was, like, it happened 30 minutes after he crossed the border one time. But, you know, recently, I know it's been a few weeks, I think, since a ceasefire in Syria has started. And surprisingly, the ceasefire has actually calmed things down a little bit in Syria. Not both sides aren't really fully obeying the treaty, but things are looking much better right now. And the people have started to rise up and demonstrate again in the same fashion that they did in 2011, because the airstrikes and stuff have kind of slowed down.
Americans are responding to the Syrian refugee crisis in a variety of ways. Many are against allowing any refugees to resettle here, but quite a few others are eager for that. What's your response to those who resist more Syrian refugees in this country?
Well, to be honest, I understand that Americans are worried about security, and I fully understand we Americans are worried about terrorists. But what I want people to know is that Syrian refugees are not terrorists. I remember when the Paris attacks happened, you know, people were all saying, oh, these are Syrian refugees that, you know, went to Europe. It turned out that that wasn't true. It turned out that the attackers were living in Europe at the time, and they were European residents. So just keep in mind that people are taking advantage of the situation to paint the refugees in a bad light. But they're really just regular people who are risking their lives. There are so many people that have drowned in the Mediterranean Sea trying to get outside of Syria because Jordan is starting not to allow Syrians in because there's just too many. And Turkey is also becoming saturated with Syrians as well. So where else are they going to go? They go to the ocean, see where the boats take them. And I think that the United States is a country that historically, you know, we've had so many immigrants that have added so much to this country. And I think that there are a lot of refugees that could definitely help. They can add something to the U.S. population and make us a more diverse and more accepting place.
I want to thank Tasneem Sana, an MSU physiology student from Grand Rapids who's involved in various campus activism for Syrians, the Students Organized for Syria, or SOS, also the Books Not Bombs campaign. Her parents immigrated from Syria in the 80s, she still has family members living in Syria. Thanks very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me.